Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Don, it's on the wrong page. Today we're reading from the Srimad Chaitanya Charitamrita. Madhya Lila, Chapter 9, Lord Chaitanya travels to the holy places. I have to wait a minute for the text to come on. It's text 64, 63. Actually 62, they didn't do last week, so we'll do it again. Madhya 9, 62. Anyway, I'll do 62 and 63. We'll do 64 together. Krishna Bali Acharya Prabhure Karina Vinaya Dekhiya Shakali Loka Hoila Vishmaya. When the spiritual master of the Buddhists began to chant the holy name of Krishna and submitted to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the people were gathered there, were astonished. That's the last verse that Pundarik didn't get the message he was supposed to speak on, because it was the culmination of the pastime with the Buddhist teacher, where he also chanted Hare Krishna after getting hit in the head by the plate of so-called prasadam dropped by the bird. And then he chanted after he woke up. Hey Rupi Kautuka Kari Sachira Nandana Antardana Koila Keha Napaya Darshana. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the son of Sachi, then suddenly and strangely disappeared from everyone's sight, and it was impossible for anyone to find him. Now we'll do 64 together. Mahaprabhu Chali Oila Tripati Trimale. Chaturbhuja Murti Deki Venkatadre Chale. Mahaprabhu Chale Oila Tripate Trimale. Chaturbhuja Murti Deki Venkatadre Chale. Mahaprabhu Chaila Aile Tripate Trimale. Chatur Bhuja Murki Deki Nekantadri Chale. Mahaprabhu Chaila Aile Tripate Trimale. Chatur Bhuja Murti Deki Venkatadri Chale. Ladies? Mahaprabhu Chale Aila Tripate Trimale. Chatur Bhuja Murti Deki Venkatadri Chale. Mahaprabhu Chali Aila Tripati Trimale. Chatur Bhuja Murti Deki Venkatadri Chale. Mahaprabhu, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chali Aila, arrived by walking Tripati Trimale at the holy places named Tripati and Trimali, Trimala. Chatur Bhuja, four-handed, Murti, deity. Deki, seeing. Venkata Adri, to the holy place Venkata Hill. Chale, began to proceed. Translation. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu next arrived at Tirupati and Trimala, where he saw the four-handed deity. Then he next proceeded toward Venkata Hill. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati has actually described the chronological order of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's visit. The Tirupati temple is sometimes called Tirupatura. It is situated in the northern side of Arcot in the district of Chandagiri. It is a famous holy place of pilgrimage. In pursuance of his name, Venkateswara, the four-handed deity Lord Vishnu, the deity Balaji of Balaji, with his potencies named Sri and Bhu, is located on Venkata Hill, about 8 miles from Tirupati. This Venkateswara deity is in the form of Lord Vishnu. The place where he is situated is known as Venkata Kshetra. There are many temples in southern India, but this Balaji temple is especially opulent. A great fair is held there in the months of September and October. There is a railway station called Tirupati on the Southern Railway. Nimna Tirupati is located in the valley of the Venkata Hill. There are several temples there also, among which are Govindaraj and the deity of Lord Ramachandra. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Ginandana Sarakaya Taksurun Militam Gena Tasmai Sri Garave Namaha. When I got the assignment to give this class, I had no idea where it would take me. I've heard of Tirupati, and usually when you go about finding out about some place where you've never been, you do your research. And it was like Krishna consciousness, the realization I got, it's like a big pegboard with all those little holes in it. And no matter what hole you enter into, it brings you into this whole new world. Wherever you go, Srila Prabhupada gives the example in the introduction to the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's like a bag of sugar. Wherever you poke it or take some sugar from it, it's sweet. So I want to try and explain, discuss how the different dots of the pegboard created a scene, and how that scene brought realizations as I entered into this study. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, the second verse says that the highest truth is reality distinguished from illusion. This is the purpose of the Vedas, to help us understand and discern the difference between what's real and what's an illusion. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks about an abode, an energy, an alternate reality, a dimension, which we can't experience with our senses. Atasi Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Grayam Indrayi. Nabhaved Grayam Indrayi. Indrayi is the senses. Nabhaved means it can't be experienced by our senses. Parastasmatu bhavan yo vyakto vyaktat sanatana yat sarveshu bhuteshu nasyastu na vinashyati. After explaining the material nature and how it's coming, manifest and unmanifest, always changing, he describes, yet there is another unmanifest nature which is eternal and is transcendental to this manifested and unmanifested matter. It is supreme and is never annihilated. When all this world is annihilated, that part remains as it is. Yet that supreme abode is called unmanifested and infallible, and it is the supreme destination. When one goes there, he never comes back. That is my supreme abode. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is greater than all, is attainable by unalloyed devotion. Although he is present in his abode, he is all-pervading, and everything is situated within him. So the Vedic concept is that beyond where we are, what we can perceive with our senses, there's an alternate reality, a separate reality, another dimension, which is all-pervading and therefore constantly surrounding us. But we don't access that or experience it with our senses. The example given in Navadvipa Dan Mahatmya is that a person has some land and property that he's purchased, and it's filled with gold. But he's built a house, and he's living on the land, and he's farming it, and he pays so much attention to what's on the surface that he never accesses that which is under the ground, the wealth, which is his own property. The example is that although we have this inner place, which is spiritual, the Lord within the heart, and our awareness of that, and ourselves being transcendental, we spend all our lives, most people, without ever paying any attention to it. Just like the person who owns the land with the gold who never accesses it. That dimension, that alternate reality, is infinite and can be perceived by anyone in different features since it's unlimited and the living entities are unlimited. In the second chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, it describes categories. Vedanti tat tat vavidas tatvam yajganam advayam. Brahmeti paramatmeti Bhagavan iti sabdhyate. And this verse, Sesha spoke on it on Thursday. We're familiar with it, but this particular study opened my eyes to another angle of vision for that verse. Bhagavan realization is not just Krishna and Vrindavan. Bhagavan realization is realizing the personal nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that manifests itself in millions and unlimited ways. Now, some people, liberated souls, pure devotees, can perceive that reality. And sometimes they share their experience through books or song or messages by which we can hear about it. Now, in order to kind of solidify this concept and help everybody meditate it and understand it better, I'm going to give an example, and then if you can get the microphone, we can go around and maybe give some other examples of people who are perceiving in one way or another that alternate reality, although situated in the material world. The most famous one that I'll start with is Sanjaya, who was empowered by Vyasadeva to view the battle of Kurukshetra prior to it, Krishna and Arjuna's conversation, although he wasn't even there. He wasn't even present, but he understood everything. He understood Arjuna's heart, he understood Krishna's message, and he was able to relate it to Dhritarashtra. So who can give another example of how that alternate reality might not be perceived by anyone else, but it's shared to us? Bhagatmika?
Thank you. I remember when Srila Prabhupada, when Srila Prabhupada would, when he would be in a place where the artists were painting the pictures, it became very clear when the artists would bring the painting even half done, or he would see the painting half done, or what, he would make a comment. It was very, very obvious that he was there in that leela, or he was observing that leela in another dimension by his comments. I can't remember a particular one. Maybe Pushkar would be good. But isn't that true?
Yeah, sure, please.
Father told us to depend. What? Yeah. Yeah. We got tired of being asked questions, and he told us that we could take the instruction of this Chaitya Guru, not the guy who makes Kyle, but the original Acharya Chaitya Swapusaha Apushaha Fadakini Ganati. The super soul would instruct us at one point. But you know, I didn't go back and forth with a lot of letters with Baba, but you know, there are a lot of letters where Baba describes the situation. Aside from in person, Jadarani collected all letters, and she has all of, even she has the questions, which is amazing. I don't know how she kept those, but unless she just remembered the questions, but the questions she had. Yeah, so there were a lot of questions, and probably would describe it, usually according to the Shastra, but there's some things that weren't shown, which he knew, according to Shastra, Sadhu Shastra Guru Vakya Chitti Kori Akya. And he expected at a certain point we would be able to access this, the Shastra and the Super Soul. Although there were always mistakes, and he was always correcting, this is not this, and I remember in, are we supposed to go off on a tangent about all this stuff?
No, let's not go too far off.
What?
Let's not go too far off, but
no, if, I mean, if it, you want to hear about, the idea was you want to hear about the...
About how a pure devotee can perceive,
he can perceive
that
it,
reality. Like you gave the nice example, you said that he said that Chaitya Guru Shastra can give us some direction, but there were still mistakes. In other words, they're seeing it very clearly. What we're getting to is various qualities or levels of Bhagavan realization. Let's say it like that.
Well, I mean, we can read that any time. We just open up a book and read Vishwanath or Sanatana or
yes,
Jiva, and they're how do they know that stuff? You know, some a lot of it may be from Purana or there, but they, I mean, Vishwanath's having whole conversations going on. And,
yeah. You know, good examples. Anybody else? Okonda?
Well, I guess that would be applicable to all the acharyas because they all have a siddha roof, and in their siddha roof, they're always seeing, but one just not now that, well, they're not aligned, but Vyasadeva, of course, after his conversation with Narada Muni, he directly expresses
very good
that he's able to see so many things that make him a just human.
He actually saw this difference, didn't he?
Yes.
He perceived this exact thing that I'm talking about and expresses it in the Bhagavatam, how he saw reality and he saw the temporary nature of the material world. How about something more specific? Anybody have one like Madhavendra Puri's dream? Where he dreamed he had both, didn't he? He had Krishna come up to him and give him a pot of milk and he didn't even know it. And then he went to sleep and Krishna came again to him in a dream and said, hey, I'm in this, when the Muslims were here, my pujari left me in the woods, please come and get me. And then he went to the village. He woke up from a dream. He didn't even go in the forest to make sure the dream was true. He went straight to the village and got everybody and got their instruments and everything like that. Then he went to the forest and started digging, not even knowing if really what happened was real. But he had that experience, so he acted upon it. Anybody else?
Ah. Demigods were coming there, and they perceived, the devotees perceived somebody was coming in and out. They said, there must be thieves. What's going on here? Because they just, or ghosts or something. That's what they thought, because they couldn't see it, but it was demigods coming to worship the soul.
Very nice. Another one in Mother Sachi's house was how she would offer her boga to her Gopal deity, and in her mind, her son, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, would come and also eat that prasadam. And she was overwhelmed with joy. But she would always wonder, is this just my mind, or is this really him coming? So when he sent Jagannanda Pandit or Damodar to Mayapur, back to Navadvipa, he sent a message. Tell my mother that I'm very much enjoying those offerings. Every day I come and eat those offerings. Anybody else?
I'm not sure if this, a couple came into mind, but this one, I'm not sure if this is exactly what you mean, but that time that Rupa Goswami was sitting down in meditation and a crippled sadhu passed by, and as he passed by, Rupa Goswami laughed, The sadhu thought he was laughing at him, but inside Rupa Goswami was seeing that pastime of Krishna holding down a branch on a tree for Radharani to either pick a flower or you hear the story differently, or retrieve something from the branch, and then as soon as she held the branch, he let go. And she sprung up in the air and was dangling, and that's what he laughed at. So although he was sitting there looking just meditatively, he was in a whole other world. And then there's just the pastimes of like Kishore Gopinath taking a pot of kheer from out of Indrapuri.
Yes, and then he came to that pujari in the dream, and he very clearly, he said, I stole this pot of sweet rice behind the curtain, come back down, get it, go out and give it to the person called Madhavendra Puri. It's not vague. It's not out of focus. It's extremely clear. And they perceive that. Now, just because somebody doesn't have that clear a vision, doesn't mean that we're not at all realized of Bhagavan realization, Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. My premise is that everyone is Bhagavan realized. Otherwise, why are we here? But there's different levels. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it also gives the example of birds flying in the sky. And according to one's level of realization, they're going to perceive that sky and interact with it. There's these birds that kind of jump around in the shrubs. They don't hardly ever get off the ground. They just kind of bounce from on the ground little bit by little bit. Then there's other ones that kind of like swoop and go into the little bushes and trees. Then there are the ones that go higher and higher into the trees. And then, you know, around here in Alachua, you get those vulture things that go even higher. And then in Arizona and out west, you get the eagles that go even higher. And apparently there's birds that fly from planet to planet and Garudas. So there's all, but they're all birds and they're all in the sky. In the same way, we all have some realizations of the Supreme, of this alternate reality. So this alternate reality is kind of like an umbrella topic that I wanted to introduce, because that kind of leads to the other aspects and how that alternate reality is unlimited, like the pegboard or like the sky. And there are so many different ways to access it and realize it. So, today we'll have discussions of the disappearance of Abhiram Thakur and discussions of Lord Chaitanya's travels to Tirupati. Those are the two topics for today. And then in 2 weeks, I give class again on Lord Chaitanya's travel to some other temples. So I wanted to introduce this because all of them will put under that umbrella, that there's an alternate reality, an alternate dimension, which exists eternally. It's all pervading. It can be accessed by anyone at any time by devotion. So, another example, very clear and descript of perceiving that reality, is Rupa Goswami's book, Radha Krishna Gonadesh Deepika. Deepika means like deep, it's a shining light. And in that book, he describes very in detail the characteristics, the qualities, the form, the clothing, and the nature of Krishna's associates, Madhu Yasoda, Nanda Maharaj, grandfather Parjanya, the brothers of Nanda Maharaj, cousins, dogs, cats, animals, cows, all kinds of people in great detail. And he describes that in that book. And similarly, in Chaitanya Leela, Kavi Karnapura, Shivananda Sen's son, wrote a book called Gaura Gonadesh Deepika that describes who the people in Krishna Leela were when they advented in Gaura Leela. Because we know, just like Lord Chaitanya is the combination of Radha and Krishna, and he wanted to experience, as Krishna, he wanted to experience the feelings and nature of Srimati Radharani. So he stole her bhav and her color, and he advented as an entirely new form, a different form. When he did that, all of Krishna's associates also wanted to take part in that lila and assist him and take part in that. So they all transformed into new forms. And Abhiram Thakur was one of those. So in Gauragona Desh Deepika, it describes, now before I continue, there's like a fine-tuning tweak to this concept. And Pushkar, your example of the artists thinking that they're seeing something clearly presented to them by Chaitya Guru, then bringing it to Srila Prabhupada and have him say no, is a perfect example of how of this very subtle space between the mental platform and that spiritual reality. How do you know that fine-tuning thing, that fine-tuning place? Because what I found in again, my little tapestry, my little dots connecting, I started researching holy places in 1981 when I went to Vrindavan and traveled around to all these different places. And people had, there was no internet, there was no computers, and certainly I didn't have access to Sanskrit, ancient Sanskrit texts. But by going to different places, you start to hear the different lilas and stories of things that happened in those places. And fortunately for us, Vrindavan is pretty well documented. Then when I went to Puri 20 years later and started to do the same thing in studying Jagannath culture, oh my God, it was a whole other experience, because the culture is not orthodox in the sense that Vrindavan is, where you have all these Shastra, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Viswanath Chakravarti Thakur, all our acharyas are giving information and you can pretty much follow and go along and be guided. In Puri, there's like no real sampradaya. There's several sampradayas, and there's grandmas telling their kids the stories, and those get passed down. There's even a Mahabharata. Now, we know the Mahabharata from Vyasadeva. There's a Mahabharata that was written by an Aryan in the Aryan language, which means it was accessible by the local people, and it's a whole other story. It's not even, it has the Pandavas and has Krishna, but it has a whole bunch more that doesn't even exist in Vyasadeva's Mahabharata. So the question constantly arising, what is reality distinguished from illusion, and how can you discern that? So that also has to always be kept in mind. Wanted to tweak that fine tune. So the verse from Gauragona Desh Deepika, Pura Shidhama Namasid Abhirama Dunamahan Vitam Sharajanareva Vaiham Kastam Uvasaha. He who was previously known as Sridham is today Abhiram Thakur. He picked up a piece of wood that it took 32 men to lift. So what I did was I went to Radhakrishna Gona Desh Deepika to see, okay, who's Sridham? Because now he's manifested as this Abhiram. This is the verse from the Radhakrishna Gona Desh Deepika. Sridham has a handsome dark complexion. He wears yellow garments and a necklace of jewels. He is a splendid youth, 16 years old. He is a great reservoir of the nectar of innumerable transcendental pastimes. He is Lord Krishna's dearest friend. His father is Maharaj Vrishabhanu, and his mother is the chaste Kirtida. Srimati Radharani and Ananga Manjari are his two younger sisters. Oh, what a sweet personality this person must be, huh? It's also described in one of the commentaries, Viswanath does a nice, beautiful job here. When there are different categories of cowherd boys, Priyanarmasakas, Priyasakas, let's say like ordinary friends, closer friends. Again, the example of the birds in the sky. There's friends and there's closer friends. Sridham and the Priyasakas are compared One person even said that Sridham is an incarnation of Krishna's intelligence, meaning that wherever you go, your intelligence goes with you. So wherever Krishna went and whatever pastimes he performed, this Sakha, this friend, is so intimate that he goes there with Krishna. And the example is that in the Sanskrit, Vishnu takes it and breaks it down. When Krishna went to steal the garments of the gopis, now, that's intimate. He took cowherd boys with him. Sridham was one of those. It's a Priya Sakha. It says that he took cowherd boys with him, although they were young. So he gives that as an example to show how intimate those boys are. So this Abhiram Thakur is that person, but now he's manifest in Gaur-lila. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was on this tour that we're also discussing at this time, when he came back to Puri, nobody really knew the plan. Oh, are we all going to stay here in Puri and hear and chant and have kirtan and enjoy together Jagannath Prasad and kirtans? But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Nityananda Prabhu that you don't stay here. You go back and you preach this message to those people in Bengal. And he started the Sankirtan movement and the waves rippling out from Jagannath Puri and Navadvip by sending Nityananda Prabhu back. So it's described that Abhiram Thakur was one of those intimate preachers, very powerful personality, very fiery, strong personality who helped preach a lot. Now, but in order to follow this through, I just want to show how chaste and orthodox Srila Prabhupada and Bhaktisiddhanta are to previous acharyas so that they don't sway away into that realm that may be kind of that gray area. Radhakrishna Gonadeshtipika, Gaura Gonadeshtipika, Bhakti Ratnakara is also considered kind of one of the foundations of Gaudiya Vaishnava history, except as an authorized shastra. That book also describes Abhiram Thakur. Abhiram Goswami possessed a fiery temper and a great spiritual power. The atheists trembled whenever they saw him. He was intoxicated as though he had been possessed by Lord Nityananda, and his enchanting merceries are famed throughout the world. O Srinivas, how much more can one say? Abhiram descended into this world in order to deliver it. Taking birth in a Brahmin family, he became a scholar in all the scriptures and was unequaled musician, not only in song and playing musical instruments, but his dance also. He married at Nityananda Balaram's request. His wife Malini also is indescribably powerful. So, these are descriptions of Abhiram from Shastra. Here's Chaitanya Charitamrita verse with the purport. Sri Ramadasa Ara Garadhara Das Chaitanya Gosanira Bhakta Rahitan Rapas. Two devotees of Lord Chaitanya named Sri Ramdas and Sri Garadhara Das always lived with Virabhadra Goswami. Purport. Sri Ramdas, later known as Abhiram Thakur, was one of 12 gopals, or cowherd boyfriends, of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. The Gaura Gonadeshtipika states that Sri Ramdas was formerly Sridham. In Bhakti Ratnakara, there is a description of Srila Abhiram Thakur. By the order of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, Abhiram Thakur became a great acharya and preacher of the Chaitanya cult in devotional service. He was a very influential personality, and non-devotees were very much afraid of him. Empowered by Sri Nityananda Prabhu, he was always in ecstasy and extremely kind to all fallen souls. It is said that if he offered obeisances to any stone other than a Shalagram Shila, it would immediately fracture. So this personality also describes that he had a whip called Jai Mangala, and whoever he touched with his whip, doesn't say if he kind of kindly touched them or whipped them, but when they got touched, they got Krishna Prema. So that reference to Srinivas Acharya was when he went to Navadvip. He got touched by that whip three times, and then Malini, Abhiram Thakur's wife, stopped him and said, no, he can't handle anymore. Krishna Prema, stop. just like Rukmini stopped Krishna with Sudham. Can you put on that film now? Now, what I did was I put together a silent images that I got off the internet and so many different things and spliced them all together. While I describe Tirupati, you can see those images because that's the other topic for today. Now, just like there's a Deepika, since it's here, let me explain. The reason I picked this particular image, look on the chest. Shri and Bhu. Remember, it said that the potencies of Shri and Bhu. We hear that Lakshmi rests on the chest of Vishnu. So those are the two deities on the chest of Vishnu. This deity is Venkateshwar. He's the most wealthy deity by far in the world. That's not tin. That's gold, silver, rubies, diamonds. Dravanaksha told me that when he went there and took darshan of Venkateshwar, normal day, that the outfit that he was wearing was estimated to cost $4 million. So the amount of wealth, and we'll hear why it's and how it became so famous, this deity is by far the most wealthy deity in the world. That's all real gems, and you can see that he's forearms, see the conch shell, and the looks like the chakra. Then down below, on his right, on our left side, his right side, you can see a glove made. It's like placed over his hand. You'll see more in the slideshow part of it. That's all inlaid jewels in silver and gold. Beautiful flower garlands. So they're put on the movie. just like there's Deepika, whenever we... No, the other one. The other one. The one without the sound. That Sanskrit is coming, good that you introduced it like that, has come from Venkatachala Mahatma. Mahatnya. Just like this Mathura Mahatnya by Rupa Goswami, Navadvip Dham Mahatnya by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. This is also an instance and an examples where acharyas take Puranic information and enter into it and stretch it and guide their followers into it. For example, Navadvip Dham Mahatnya. It's a conversation between Lord Nityananda and Jiva Goswami. Lord Nityananda takes Jiva Goswami on parikrama. You won't find that in any Purana or Veda. But the places where they go and the things that they talk about, there's two parts to Navadvip Dham Mahatmya, Parikrama Kanda and Pramana Kanda. The Parikrama Kanda is the stories. They go to each one of the places and travel around. Then in Pramana Kanda, Bhaktivinoda Thakur quotes the different shastras from which he's based the Parikrama Kanda. So whenever you go to a holy place, there are mahatmyas or books which describe the nature and pastimes and glories of that place, why it's special. So you can see that here is where Tirupati is. Tirupati was the adjoining kingdom. Where the name Tirupati is on that map is pretty much on the coast. That's where Ramananda Roy was the governor. So after speaking with Ramananda Roy, Lord Chaitanya hasn't actually gone south, he's gone inland. And that kingdom was, at that time, the monarch was Krishnadev Rai, and he was extremely powerful and wealthy. Later on, you'll see some gold temple. The entire top of the temple is gold. He did that. It's gilded in gold with beautiful features and artistic design on it. So what I'm speaking from is called the Venkatachala Mahatmya. It's a Mahatmya which describes the glories of this place where Lord Chaitanya traveled. It's described that in the beginning, this holy place became holy because Lord Varaha, in one of his months ago, I gave class on Varaha Dwadasi, and we discussed how there are different incarnations of Varaha to maintain the world in different kalpas. So during the Sweta Varaha, after the Sweta Varaha pastime, when Mother Bhumi came before Varaha and offered her obeisances, she asked him, please stay and spend some time here. Establish yourself. So there's a place where Lord Varaha wanted to stay in these hills, and he had Garuda go to Vaikuntha and bring seven hills. How come that's not going? Is it on? Yeah, just play the movie. It's a 15-minute movie, so just play it. And it's silent, so you guys, you probably can watch the images. It goes. So you'll see these different hills, and there's the temple. The seven hills all have history. But basically what happened was that once Varaha was established, then those hills are there, and there was one Varaha Kshetra. Also, a little later, we have that pastime where Bhrigu Muni, there were some sages performing a yajna. And Narada Muni came to that yajna and asked, who are you performing this yajna for? Who's the presiding deity? What is the fruit you're hoping for? And none of them were actually sure. This is where that pastime took place, where they got Bhrigu Muni to go to Brahma, Shiva, and Vishnu in order to discern and try to understand who is the most powerful, who is the supreme God. And Bhrigu went to Brahma, he went to Shiva, and finally when he came to Lord Vishnu didn't really pay attention to him, so Bhrigu kicked him in the chest. When Bhrigu kicked him in the chest, immediately Lord Vishnu got up and was very apologetic. But we know that, as we just described from that photo we saw, that the resting place of Lakshmi is the chest of Lord Vishnu. So because Vishnu didn't say anything to Bhrigu about kicking the residence of Lakshmi, and because Bhrigu had kicked the place where she resides, she became angry, man, and left Vaikuntha and came to this place and incarnated as a princess. Actually, she incarnated very similar to the way that Sita Devi did. There was a king who was going to perform a yajna, and while he was plowing the earth, they found the little girl from the earth and named her Padmavati. So now that Lakshmi had left Vaikuntha, then Mahavishnu wanted to look for her and search for her. So he came to earth, and he was doing penance in an ant hill, in one of these hills. And ants had come up all around him. He was meditating, trying to find out where she was. Brahma and Shiva knew the plight of Mahavishnu. So they took the form of a cow and a calf and went to the king of that area. And he gave them to a cowherd, and every day they would go out, and the cow would walk to the hill where Mahavishnu was inside and drop her milk. Anybody else remember another pastime where this is very similar? Cow dropping milk on a deity? Madhavendra Puri? There was milk being poured on him? No, he was in the ground, but this deity was in the ground, and the milk was being poured on the deity by a cow. No one knows that story. That's how Rupa Goswami found the Govindaji deity. In the yoga pit in Vrindavan, there was a hill, and Rupa Goswami was told to excavate these holy places and find the deities. That deity was installed by Krishna's great-grandson, Rajranab, and Rupa Goswami saw this cow coming and dropping milk on this area every day. So he went up and dug and found the Govindaji deity. In the same way, this cow would come and drop her milk. So when he came back, when she came back every day to the king, there was no milk. And that the queen started to get really angry that we've purchased and have this cow, and it goes out with this cowherd boy. I think the cowherd is stealing the milk. So the cowherd now was pretty concerned about his livelihood and his job and everything like that. So he followed that cow, and he watched her drop the milk. So when she was dropping the milk, he became furious, and he came up with an axe and went to strike the cow. And at that time, the deity came out of the hill and stopped. And what happened was that the axe actually hit the top of the deity and took off a small part. It took the turn, and Vishnu, and immediately the cowherd dropped dead. And the cow got blood on it and went running home. So the king and the queen and different retinue came to that place. They saw the dead cow. They saw the dead cow herd. They saw blood everywhere on the cow and everything. And I couldn't understand what it was. And then Vishnu manifested himself, or Lord Brahma even came. And there was a whole pastime where they explained that this is a lila. Mahavishnu is looking for his consort. So that Vishnu form incarnated as a person named Srinivas. He's a young boy, young man, but he was a forest dweller. And Padmavati, meanwhile, was in the kingdom as a very beautiful princess. So Mahavishnu was a poor forest dweller, and the princess was a great wealthy woman, daughter of a great king. So what happened was that Bakula Devi, this was interesting too, in the Mahatmya, it actually says that Mother Yasoda felt pained that she never saw her son married. Mother Yasoda never saw the marriage between Rukmini and Krishna. So knowing that, Krishna benedicted her, that you'll take incarnation as Bakula Devi and you'll see my marriage. So apparently, now we're back into that area where our acharyas and a lot of English translations of these books are not available. So how to check it is not there. But the Sanskrit, you can hear it later, it's Sutta Uvacha, and there's a whole Mahatmya which describes these pastimes. So Bakula Devi took care of Srinivas. And when they came of age, one time Srinivas was out in the forest hunting, and he saw an elephant. And the elephant started to run. So Srinivas followed him, and he ran into a grove near a kund where Padmavati and her friends were bathing. So all of a sudden, the elephant turned around and looked at Srinivas and then bolted into the thickets and could no longer be seen. But Padmavati, who's Lakshmi, and Srinivas, who's Mahavishnu, saw each other, and immediately their eternal love was awakened. But Padmavati went home, and Srinivas went home. So Srinivas started to pine and feel down and forlorn in his separation from Lakshmi, from Padmavati. And Padmavati went home, and everybody in the palace could recognize her difference. And she became actually sick. And what happened was that Bakula Devi asked Srinivas, "What is wrong with you? Why are you so forlorn?" And he explained that, "I saw this woman who's definitely my should be my wife. This is why I'm like this. Please go and arrange my marriage with her." So Bakula Devi went to the palace and made a marriage proposal to the father of Padmavati. But because they were forest dwellers, he's thinking, "Well, wait, no way this is going to happen. I'm not going to marry my daughter to a forest dweller." So natural to Krishna's nature, Srinivas dressed like a woman and went to that kingdom and went as a great palmist and was in the bazaar telling people's palms, telling their future. And everybody was amazed at the alacrity and clarity with which she was speaking. So somebody said, "Oh, Padmavati is sick in the palace. You should go and tell her fortune. Why is she? What's going to happen? She's not well. So even the king found out and got the promise and invited her to the palace. So when Srinivas, just as the woman and soothsayer, went to tell Padmavati her future and look at her palm and everything, she said, "Oh, yes, there's a very wonderful man named Srinivas that you should marry." And the king was like, "What? He's a forest dweller. Is he?" "No, no, it says here that they would be a good match." So then that pastime was there, and the promise left. And now Srinivas, it was starting to come together, but he needed wealth. He needed to make himself known and up to come up to the standard and class for Padmavati and the king's pleasure, so that they could be equal. So he went first to Varaha, who was already established as a deity, Varaha Kshetra. And he said, "My dear Lord Varaha, I'm going to manifest myself as Vishnu and have a temple in this area, but I need your permission since it's already your domain. But I'll make a pact with you that any person who comes to my temple must first come and worship you. Then they'll come to me." So Varahadev said, "Yes, very good, Mahavishnu. You go ahead and do that. You set up your temple. As long as they come to me first, then we're good." Then he didn't have any wealth, so he went to Kubera, the demigod who is the treasurer of the demigods. And he took a huge loan so that he could have wealth. And he said, "I need to have, I need to have a temple. I need to have servants. I need to have a whole kingdom." So Kubera gave him a huge, and he said, "I'll pay back the loan because my devotees will come and they'll give dakshin. And what I'll do is I'll make an arrangement so that I give them a good interest rate on their donations. I'll benedict them." So this Venkateshwara deity, it's known that he's in debt to Kubera. So when the devotees go there, they're giving to help him pay back his debt, with an understanding that they're also going to get great boons in return for their offering. Another thing that they do is they offer their hair. There's a huge, you won't believe this article, which describes the amount of hair that's offered when people go to the deity. The idea is that one's hair is part of their beauty. Now, when the axe came down and cut the deity, part of the scalp went off. So one of those seven hills is called Niladi, and Niladevi was the first woman who came. She was a Gandharvika, and when she came to see the deity, she saw that it was bald, so she cut her own hair and put it on the deity so that it wouldn't look odd, and in this way sacrificed her own ego. So the whole idea of going to the temple and shaving one's head is to become freed from the bodily concept of life and give up one's ego for the pleasure of the deity. Every year, thousands of people who visit the temple get their hair cut as an offering to Lord Venkateswara. In Tirumala, the temple at Tirumala earned nearly 200 crores of its total revenue from auctioning this human hair, according to the temple commander. Revenues equal as many as 49 traders, they auction it off. As many as 49 traders participated in last year's auction and bid huge amounts. The auction held in two phases, first in September and then in March. 466 tons of hair were offered in phase one, and another 95 tons of hair sold in the second phase. According to the TDT, it's the Tirumala Tirupati Devastam official, human hair is broadly divided into five categories depending on the length and texture. Hair longer than 31 inches, 16 to 30 inches, 15 to 30, 10 to 15 inches, 5 to 9 inches, and that of less than 5 inches. So there's different types of hair that people offer. The long and uniformly trimmed hair is collected, called Remi hair, which has a big market in Europe and the US, where it's woven into wigs. Non-Remi hair, broken and short, has a huge demand in China. which in turn makes wigs and sells them to America and African market, especially Nigeria. And in the domestic market, Tirumala hair is popular in Mumbai for making hair for the movie stars. So this is what happens when people go there and do this activity of offering their hair. So finally, Padmavati and Srinivas were married. Lakshmi has her own temple, Srinivas, Venkateswara. Venkateswara is especially kind and beneficent to the members of Kali Yuga. That deity is prominent at this time. Venkat means venk, ven is sin, kata means to burn or destroy, and Iswara means the controller. So Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, sarva dhamman parityaja mame kam saranam braja aham tvam sarva papibhyo moksha yasyami masuchaha, that don't fear all your sinful, sarva papibhyo, all your sins, moksha yasyami masuchaha, I'll cleanse them. This deity is famous for cleansing the sins of those who go and make an offering to him, who bow down to him. It's huge culture. This movie is coming from the Bhakti Center, TDD Bhakti Center. If you go online, there's tons of videos, photos, beautiful, incredible culture. And you can see that it's very similar to what we do. Ramanujacharya went there during his time. The Sri Vaishnavs, it's about 140 kilometers, 100 miles, from Sri Rangam. And it's one of 108 Divyasthams where devotees from the Sri Sampradaya travel and go to take darshan. The mantra that they chant is Om Namo Venkatasraya, just like in Sri Rangam, Om Namo Narayan. Om Namo Venkatesaya. Om Namo Venkatesaya. Om Namo Venkatesaya. Om Namo Venkatesaya. You can see it's very opulently worship. Yes, I saw that Tamil and Telugu languages, there's different ways they can break down that word to mean different things. Oh, yes, thank you. Say that again, Ramanya, so the devotees are not here.
They receive Srila Prabhupada very respectfully, and they, because there's the darshan, to take darshan of Balaji takes, there's thousands of people in line every day, thousands of people. So they put Srila Prabhupada all the way to the front to take good darshan to the deity.
Yes, it was 2 o'clock in the morning.
Something like that. So
Sasrup wrote a little thing and
yes, so the Brahmanas, they received him very nicely, chanting mantras and everything for sannyas, special mantras for sannyasis, like Prabhupada. So Prabhupada liked it, and he says, we should administer Mayapur like Tirupati.
Yes, he really liked the organization.
It's a whole city, yeah.
So can you imagine how many people are going? 50 to 100,000 people per day go to this temple.
Yes.
Super organized, nice prasadam, clean bathrooms, prasad, everything's arranged, resting. You buy a ticket.
Yeah.
You can buy a ticket. There's three different ways you can go see the deity. One is free, another is a ticket, and another is if you're a child or an older person over 75. But most people pay 150 rupees, and they go, and it takes 10 hours from the time you buy your ticket to the time
you go.
But
they have different systems.
And they have places where you can hang out.
Yeah.
They have different, these kind of different movies and video and things like
they
that.
Have,
prasadam.
I was there. I visited. It was on the waters, yes.
Ah.
And we go to Keshara too. So the deity is from different yuga. One of the crowns is 6 kgs of gold and 30,000 diamonds, one of his crowns. So that's an amazing place. You have to visit. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta spent time in there in Prabhupada, and it's from Sri Sampradaya, but Srila Prabhupada established Sitarandidis. It's from Sri Sampradaya, that worship
Sitaram,
and Narasimha also named Srinadeva. It's also from Sri Sampradaya.
Thank you.
One of the main features of the recording, Prabhupada, here, he's speaking with a minister, and practically the whole time he's chastising him of that. You take the government is taking this money from Balaji. Why are you taking Balaji's money? And I don't know if he cited the pastime exactly, but I know I remember the thread was Prabhupada was on his case the whole time, you know, repeatedly. That this is Balaji's money you're taking the government now is for controlling. They should not control. This is Balaji's money. You know, whatever the guy would say, he'd always bring it back to that.
Wow.
Actually, it used to be also that they would honor ISKCON devotees there very nicely. I know when we went, once they start Suprabhatam in the morning, I mean, even before that, you should be up and be down on that line if you want to take darshan. But they made a line if they saw it, because ISKCON devotees obviously stand out. They would tell you you could come into what they call the sadhu line.
Hmm.
And then even when you take darshan, there's a little alcove. As you go in to take darshan, there's a small alcove, because darshan is very brief, because they keep this line moving. So, but there's a little alcove, and if you're in that sadhu line, they'll actually allow you to stand in that little alcove for 2-3 minutes or something, then you have to get back in the line.
Nice.
The other amazing thing is that the hundi is like, as you're walking down, the hundi's like a tall, it covers a good part of the walkway. And you'll see devotees as they go down, they'll take off their watches, everything, and they just toss it up, and it goes in the hundi, and it goes straight to the basement where ordered and accounted for. So it is amazing temple. Just also one thing, those four people who went with Krishna to where the gopis' clothes were stolen, Dham, Vasudham, Sudham, and Kinkini.
Sridham, I read Sridham.
Yeah, but Sridham, because he's elder brother of Radhika, Krishna would be so embarrassed if Sridham will come to this place like this. So
I read in some commentary. I've read so much, I don't know where.
Those four, but you're right, those four, Sudham, Vasudham, Dham, Vasudham, Sudham, and Kinkini, they're considered to be the mental activities of Krishna, but they're little boys.
Is Sridham not a Priyasaka?
Yeah, but even Priyasaka's Pranamasaka.
Okay, I'm just wondering. I saw several places listed like that.
Subal, Ujwal, Arjun, Madhu Mangal, they're like Pranamasakas, and these little boys, They're called Priyanamasakas also, but they have their own little category. And because they're so young, they have no understanding of what's going on. Even it mentions when the gopis yelled at Krishna a little bit, "What are you doing?" Those little boys got scared and ran up in the tree on the other side. They have no idea what's going on. Mm-hmm.
All right, and then to finish up, there's one more. This is the Venkatachala Mahatmya in Sanskrit. It's just 2 minutes with some more images that are nice. That other one, Madan? No, it's the other one. It's just 2 minutes, but it's nice. It's nicely chanted Sanskrit.
Aditya Purana Vipargata. Sri Venkata Samahatmyam Yathamuchyayah Sri Venkata Samahatmyam Sri Venkata Samahatmyam
So I'm sure Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a wonderful visit. Yes, Father Dhamma. Pardon? I think it was kind of like supposed to show how Varahadev gave his blessings, and because Varaha was up in the sky, and then those things were coming up. Anything else?
Devotees have done it. You can go up the stairs, and some people it takes so long to go up, and some people will not walk because they don't want to touch their feet. They'll actually crawl up on their knees up those stairs.
That. Is that what that is?
Yeah, yeah. Ah. So it's like a vow that people, like we do, Govardhan Parikrama, Dhanavakar, right. They make a vow to go up on their knees up the hill.
Because I just saw at the end of that. You know, that silhouette, like they believe that it's actually the Lord manifested as the hill.
They also say Ananta Sesh is underneath the hill holding it. Or you can go up by bus. But if you go up by bus, just the trauma of looking over that hill is also purifying. And we have there is an ISKCON temple there that was established by Bhakti-shila Damodar Goswami Maharaj. Very nice temple at the bottom of the hill. And they have a restaurant, actually, halfway where that Hanuman statue was. There was an ISKCON restaurant that used to be there. And the buses stopped there halfway up and so forth. So, yeah, exactly.
Jai, Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Sri Venkateswara Maha.